It's a pleasure.
For someone who has never seen or read Tales of the City, how would you summarize the series?
It's a story about a variety of people living in a rickety old apartment house in San Francisco, presided over by a transgender landlady. And that's been the case for 42 years now, since 1976. I basically invented one of the first transgender characters in literature, and it appeared serially in the newspaper in San Francisco, and then was collected into books and has been made into four miniseries, and there's another one coming up soon on Netflix. It's all about what happens to these people and their the variety of their experience and how we're all human, and it's a comedy drama. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Did you write fiction before you came out?
I did, I did, because I started Tales of the City when I was still in the closet.
How did coming out influence your ability to be creative?
Coming out made all the difference in the world. I realized I had so many more stories to tell than I'd ever allowed myself to tell, and that I even understood the heterosexual dilemma, if you will, better once I was out as a gay man. It made it easier to look into everyone's heart, and as well as my own. So it was just a field day for material.
And why did you decide to write a memoir?
It was time. I'm 74 years old, and I thought I should get things down on, you know, paper. I was a very conservative young man growing up in North Carolina, very vocally conservative. And I think the story about how I got from there to here, wherever I am now, is an interesting one, and how I dealt with my parents. The memoir is called Logical Family, which is a phrase I coined about 10 years ago, dealing with the fact that a lot of folks, especially these days, have a hard time reconciling their own lives and beliefs with people in their biological family. The Trump election has brought that to the fore rather dramatically. I wanted to say how I got from there to here. I've been kind of a Zelig-like figure in the culture. I was in the Oval Office with Richard Nixon. I met Rock Hudson. I'm using a nice word there. And a number of other people that were figured in the culture passed through my life in one way or another.
So why did you choose to leave the South in 1972?
I was beginning to realize my sexuality. I felt stifled in Charleston. As much as I loved the town, I thought it was a beautiful little town. And I was many of the things that attracted me to Charleston, what eventually attracted me to San Francisco. But that was the main reason. And I got offered a job by the Associated Press. I went and interviewed with them in New York, trying to get out of Charleston, and they said, first of all, we've got an opening in Buffalo. An old lady that lived in my building down in Charleston said, honey, Buffalo's the last place in the world you want to shuffle off to. And I took that as guidance and said no. And the next day they called back and said, oh, well, how about San Francisco? So I packed everything into my little Opel GUT and moved across the country. And that's part of the story as well in Logical Family.
How do you think life has changed for gay people in the South since you left? Do you think you could live here now?
I could live there, but I wouldn't be very happy, and I wouldn't be very quiet, because I know that as with racism, so much of the bigotry is latent. It's there under the surface and comes out all the time I was shocked, for instance, when the transgender bathroom law controversy was raging, to find that were members of my own family that really thought they were protecting their little girls from male predators in the bathroom is ridiculous. And I just realized that the story I'd been telling for 40 years, including one that pled very strongly for transgender respect, hadn't landed anywhere close to home, in my case, in Raleigh. And so I'd rather live someplace where people are working on being better. Plenty of people in Georgia are. I know them. And I'm the guest of a Baptist church, for heaven's sakes, my film is the film about me, which really is pretty frank, is screening at the First Baptist Church in Decatur. So we've got heroes everywhere, good people. By and large, I'd rather be in the majority. That's a greedy way to look at it, but I'd rather have more kindred spirits around me than less.
You know, it just occurred to me that another of the world's great humorists, who's also gay, is also from Raleigh, North Carolina, David Sedaris.
That's right. He is. Our grandmothers were in the same rest home, as they euphemistically called it. I know David, and I feel a lot in common with him, actually. I like to peer before a crowd as much as he does, and we've both been telling our stories in our own way.
And you both bring a uniquely Southern charm to your storytelling, I would say.
Oh, Al, thank you. I'll take that. I mean, I think the South is famous for its storytelling, and so I'm happy to be part of that tradition.
Well, Armistead Maupin, thank you so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure, Ricky.